The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it's available online, in-store, wherever fine books, I like saying that, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally's also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines. He joins us when he can. And today, ladies and gentlemen, he can. And I think we're going to talk about something that works, right? Yes, you can.
Yes, I can. But I'm joining you feeling a little frustrated. Few people realize, I think, that this is a 10-year anniversary now of the Affordable Care Act. It's been the law of the land now for almost a decade. And yet, the whole basis of that law, you know, providing affordable health care coverage for everyone, that's why we did it. It remains a very elusive dream in this country. I mean, 28 million Americans still have no health insurance, none, zip. And that's up 5 million under President Trump. More than 40 million others are underinsured. So we're looking at something like 70 million Americans with inadequate health insurance. Yet countries all over Europe are providing universal health care and at nearly half our cost, one half, 50%. And their people are living healthier. They're seeing doctors. They're getting care. They're healthier and they're living longer. Obviously, the other industrialized countries are doing something right, and we're doing something, I think, a lot wrong. So to get to the basis, you got to start with the S word. That's socialism. You're going to hear a lot of that word from now on,
I'm afraid.
It's because the defenders of our profit-driven healthcare system, and that's what it is, it's a profit-driven system, they say repeatedly and falsely, hey, I can explain Europe. You know, they're all socialized medicine over there. All those, the central government owns all the hospitals. They own all the doctors. They pay low fees. They give low salaries. That's the answer. It's all socialized medicine that'll never fly here. Here are the facts. Great Britain National Health Service is socialized medicine. That's the exception. Other European countries don't own their healthcare providers. Instead, they have these four principles in common. First, everyone must get health insurance. Sound familiar? We try that. Insurance companies are highly regulated and largely nonprofit.
Well, that's a biggie.
Third, there are low caps on a patient's maximum out-of-pocket expenses. And finally, the government can negotiate for far lower drug prices. So, look, here, the good news here is that I think we could adapt each one of those ideas. I mean, we had a mandate, the individual mandate, and everyone must get health insurance, just like everyone must buy auto insurance. We had that as part of the Affordable Care Act. And I think that makes philosophical and economic sense. I mean, philosophically, this is a democracy, right? We're all in this together. Remember that one? Economically, the bigger the insurance base, the more diverse it is, the lower your costs. You're spreading the risk over a larger number of people. Costs go down. So, okay, Jill, is there anything I've said so far that sounds radical?
No, it's just how it's said. What I'm trying to say is there's a little bit of context, right? The entire NHS is NHS. Insurance, basically nonprofit, et cetera. So what, again, and this is my constant complaint with pretty much everything at this juncture, sorry to be so general. If you don't, if you say insurance and then you say essentially nonprofit, then you have a possibility of a solution. If you are dealing with profit-based, and this goes back to a topic that we cover from time to time but still unhinges me hourly, the advertising for the drugs on TV is out of control. But they're making a fortune, so la-la-la.
La-la-la. Indeed, they're making a fortune, la-la-la. So let's start with this individual mandate. I mean, that was that notion that everyone must get their health insurance or pay a fine, that was a Republican idea, right? I mean, actually, it's the bedrock of Romney Care in Massachusetts. Back then, Governor Romney and his Republican supporters argued that we should not allow, quote unquote, free riders. Those are people who would get the benefit of the state's health care system without contributing to it. But as soon as President Obama adopted the idea for his Affordable Care Act, Republicans did a backflip wrapped in the American flag. I mean, they overnight argued, oh, gee, we overlooked this. Hey, they start arguing that there is an individual freedom to mooch off the system. So, you know, you remember fourth grade? Remember that great American slogan we all learned in grade school? Give me life, liberty, and the freedom to mooch.
Hey, and the freedom to, it's called make a profit, quote, quote.
Jeez, give me a break. So anyway, look, last year, President Trump actually went further than that. He essentially outlawed the individual mandate. And let's be clear about how low Trump went to do this. I mean, Trump lied. Okay, I know. Trumpets blaring. He lied. But he lied that he was driving down insurance costs by allowing young and healthy people to shun insurance. And in fact, he knew he was actually making health insurance pools older, sicker, and hey, more expensive, obviously. Okay, Jill, let's move on to the next point. European insurance companies are largely non-profit. Now, I don't have to tell you, that's in sharp contrast to what we have here. Health insurance industry here has revenues of $1 trillion and profits of around $60 billion each year. So imagine what this government could do with an extra $60 billion. One idea. How about providing free medical care for every child from birth to around age 5? That'll cost you about $60 billion, and that would be a wonderful benefit in this society.
But how now, do you, just for a quick question,
yeah.
How, just as with political advertising or the primaries, you know, mm-hmm. how do you transfer money that is being made in one arena mm-hmm. to another?
I'm just saying, in society as a whole, if there was $60 billion lying around here,
absolutely.
One way you can spend it. It's just one way you can spend it. But here's the to get to the basic point, I don't think we're going to get to a nonprofit system, and here's why. Because the insurance industry defenders stress over and over again that, we employ 500,000 people in this country. That's a lot of jobs, and they're right about that. But not every job is going to disappear in a system more like Europe's. I mean, even with socialized medicine in England, there's insurance companies selling supplemental insurance to about 10% of the population. But okay, I concede it. It's not politically possible to shift to a nonprofit system anytime soon in this country. Ain't gonna fly. But how about simply regulating the companies more heavily? Now, look at Germany. Everyone must buy health insurance, but by law, no one pays more than 2% of their household income in out-of-pocket expenses, no matter how sick they get, no matter how much treatment they get. It's capped at 2% of their income. Now, compare that to us. I mean, we got Medicare. That's arguably our most generous health insurance plan, right? It has no limits on how much you must pay. When I got early diagnosed with cancer and I was really worried about what it was going to cost, a Medicare staffer told me, and I'm not making this up, said, there's no personal limit, even if your bill tops $1 million. And that's true. There's no limit. But look, I think things are so bad that it's got to get a little bit better. I'm actually pleased to report there is bipartisan pressure building down in Washington, D.C. to at least cap out-of-pocket Medicare drug expenses. This year, you're going to spend $5,100 on drugs right out of your pocket for your medicine to get into Medicare's so-called catastrophic care. And in a way, whoopee, because then you face the catastrophe of still having to pay 5% of the costs of these very insanely expensive drugs that got you into catastrophic care in the first place. Just one cancer drug can ruin a family. I've needed life-saving cancer drugs at certain points that cost me $18,000 a month. That was the price, $18,000. So, okay, now Medicare steps in. That leaves me owing 5%. Well, do the math. That's still $900 a month. That's over $10,000 a year for one drug. $10,000. That's 20% of an average family's total income for one drug. But I'll tell you, Jill, I am hopeful, at least on some levels. You can actually call me crazy, But I'm hopeful that our dysfunctional tribal Congress can agree on, say, a $6,000 a year cap on Medicare drug costs. I think that's reasonable. I think it's a compromise that could happen. And I can see President Trump signing it. I mean, I can actually see him doing that because re-election's coming up. He's got to get re-elected to stay in power. You get those campaign trumpets blaring. It's a nice TV moment. And he signs that bill and we cap at least Medicare drug costs. That's possible. Beyond that, assuming Democrats sweep the Congress and the White House next year, and no guarantees on that at all, but let's imagine it happens. Then I could see lawmakers finally allowing the federal government to negotiate for lower drug costs. So we've talked about this a number of times, Jill. We're paying twice as much for the same drugs as the Europeans, largely because their governments negotiate prices directly with the drug companies. Here, it's thanks to the Republicans. It really, they're the ones blocking this now. It's not, there are no Dems in there. These are the Republicans doing this. And their big pharma campaign donors, they've made it illegal for Medicare to negotiate drug prices, and they slap down every attempt to make it legal to negotiate. So good old President Trump promised to give Medicare that power when he was running. That's candidate Trump. President Trump literally wiped that promise from his website as soon as he got elected. So, hey, look, it's just a wild idea. But, you know, maybe Trump can figure out a way to make Mexicans negotiate for us. I mean, you know, it's like, pass a note over the wall and say, hey, we just negotiated Eli Lilly for you and, 30% less on those drugs. I don't know. Crazy idea. Not going to happen. But who knows? We've seen crazier things happen.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and the health correspondent for Parade. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. And look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online, in store, wherever fine books are sold.